Gathered this morning in the house of the Lord. We are strangers physically, but we're brothers and sisters spiritually. And I realized that when I came in this morning. It's always to meet new family members. And I appreciate the goodness of God and how the service this morning and the worship time, how that it's thrill my heart. God's good. If you don't know Him this morning, I would highly recommend Him to you. You'll never meet anyone like Him. He's the dearest friend you'll ever have. And I'm glad that He can be all of our friends at the same time. What a wonderful Savior He is. Brother Ken, thank you for allowing me to come. I preached all up and down these roads, but I've never been right in this particular area. And I'm glad the Lord has blessed you here with this work. Thank God for that. Thank you for the good place to stay. I don't know who is in charge of keeping the prophet's quarters, but you've made a friend in my wife. The second verse in the Bible, if she had have written it, is that God created the heavens and the earth and cleanliness. And that is the cleanest prophet's quarters we've ever stayed in. And I've been on the road for 17 years. And the best mattress I've ever slept on other than home. I mean that. Thank you. Just not even meeting you, let me get acquainted with your facilities. Let me know about you. And thank you so very much. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. And I want to begin reading in verse number 11. Luke 17, verse number 11. I am not a seasonal preacher. Sometimes God will allow me to preach a seasonal message. Of course, the Bible is a seasonal book. And He tells us that we're to be instant in season, out of season. And, of course, that's not dealing with this. But I feel that the pastor and I and some of these brethren that have testified, our hearts are on the same wavelength this morning. This is a Thanksgiving time that our nation has set aside. But Thanksgiving for the family of God is not a one day a year affair. It's an everyday account. It's an everyday privilege. Thanksgiving in the Bible to the people of God is not a suggestion that if you want to give thanks, it'll be okay, and if you don't, okay. It's not a suggestion. Thanksgiving in the Bible is a command. But the thing of it is, that's one thing that we shouldn't have to be commanded to do. And that's to give thanks. Now, notice if you will, in verse number 11 of chapter 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass," and it normally does, "as he went," now notice the phrase, "as he went to Jerusalem." This is the last time that he'll ever pass by this way. The Bible says in Isaiah 50 that he set his face like a flint. And he was headed to Jerusalem. This is just not that he's going one other trip to Jerusalem, but this is the last trip that he'll make this way. He's headed to the cross. And he knows that. And he'll never pass by this way again. And I want to say to you, some of you may be on the edge of disaster. In other words, he may pass by this morning and never pass by again. But he is passing by for the last time here. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. He didn't say, I want you to make an appointment with the physical doctor. I don't want you to go see the psychiatrist. He didn't say, I want you to take a prescription down to the drugstore. He said, I want you to go see the priest. There's only some things that God can fix. Amen. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Let me remind you that Jesus never asked questions to get information. A man that knows everything does not have to ask questions. He's never asking for information. He's always asking for inspiration. Well, were there not 10 cleansed? Well, he knew there were. And where are the 9? He knew where they were. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I'll leave off reading there this morning. I want to just preach for a few minutes from verse number 16 where it talks about this Samaritan returning and falling at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. That's the title of my message. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the great privilege of gathering today in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the good songs by the congregation, the choir, Lord, the good specials, the good word of God that we've already partook of today. Thank you for the privilege to be in the family of God, the privilege to be in the field of labor, and the privilege of being among this fellowship of believers. I pray that your will would be done today. I recognize my nothingness, but I also acknowledge your awesomeness. And you are God, and besides thee, there's none else. I pray now that you would work in the hearts of your children, bring conviction to the hearts of the unsaved. And Lord, for whatever is accomplished, you will get all of the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want to say on the outset of the message this morning, and I've already made reference that giving thanks is a biblical doctrine. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it gives a list of the facets of an individual that's filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, they're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, now watch this, in your heart and to the Lord. Now we can sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. But then he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God. He didn't say to do that in your heart, but I believe we can. But I believe that thanksgiving needs to be outwardly. There needs to be a proclamation of our thanksgiving, as the pastor has already mentioned this morning. And he says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody said, well, I really wish I knew what the will of God is for me. I can tell you one portion of it, and it is to give thanks unto God for everything always. Somebody said, preacher, it's impossible to give thanks for everything all the time. I want to say to you, friend, that if you can keep a heart of thanksgiving, it'll help you through some of the darkest times that you've ever acknowledged and had in your life. I say hallelujah. There's one sitting on the throne this morning who is worthy. He's a great God. There's none like Him. David said, thou art great and greatly to be praised. It's never wrong to praise Him. It's never wrong to give Him thanks. It doesn't matter the circumstances or the situations. It's always right to give thanks unto God. I feel a little preach here. I'm telling you, friend, there's a God who's worthy. We've got a week set aside. We're going to eat some turkey and ham and dressing with a little gravy on it. But can I tell you, friend, that's just a little token of the great goodness of our God. I should be in hell, but I'm not going to hell. I tell you, He saved me by His grace, and I want to give Him thanks for that. Now, notice here as we look into the text, the Bible tells us that these men who are calling on the Lord, and it's the last privilege they have. In other words, if they don't get help this trip, there will never be another opportunity. And now they're crying, maybe for the first time, but I know it is for the last time. Because He'll not pass this way again. And these men, the Bible said, were lepers. Now, leprosy, it was a terrible disease of that day. It was incurable by physical medication. Only God could take care of it, which makes it a perfect picture of sin. Leprosy could destroy a body without a body even feeling any pain. That's an unusual thing. If you will notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14, those chapters is called the Law of the Leper. And Leviticus 13 says that if a man has been overtaken with leprosy and he's been pronounced unclean by the priest, then he must be extradited. He must be put without the camp. That's why the Bible said these men stood afar off. Ephesians 2 said, and you who were sometimes afar off, we all were in this same condition, but now you've been made draw nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, friend, thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm not going to take time to deal with the cleansing of the leper and how did it take place, but I do note this. As a stripling of a lad at yonder in Emory Gap, Tennessee, I'm from the hills of Tennessee, and when I was there as a boy, there was a missionary by the name of Tommy Tillman who came through. And he showed slides. He was a missionary in the South Pacific Islands where all the lepers had been put away. And God called him to be a missionary to those leper colonies. And the amazing thing, he was a missionary for 48 years and never contacted leprosy. Somebody said, how did that happen? Only God could do that. But God gave him a heart for the leper. And I remember those little slides that went in that little circle thing, you know. He would show those slides and he would show what leprosy had done to different individuals. Some of them, the face was so disfigured and distorted that you would have not recognized them. And some of them, ears were missing and eyes were out and arms were off.
and legs were missing, and leprosy would so destroy a physical body that it got to where it could not move. And then the Bible said in the Old Testament that they had to put a rag around their face so nobody could get close to them. And then have to cry, unclean, unclean. And it's amazing to me that there was a leper came to Jesus one day and said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Bible said that Jesus touched him. Nobody ever touched a leper, but Jesus did. I'm glad that Jesus has power over leprosy. Now, let me just say right here, I don't know what you may be dealing with this morning. I don't know what it is that may be keeping you from enjoying the fullness of God. Can I tell you? Jesus is the answer. Woo! Jesus is the answer. I'm glad I can say that without any reservation. Jesus is the answer. Now, these men, I want you to think about it with me. These men were controlled by leprosy. This had to do with their desire. It doesn't matter how much they desired to be a good daddy. They couldn't be because of leprosy. It had divided them. It had separated them from their family. It doesn't matter how much they longed to be a good grandpa. They couldn't. They couldn't spend time with the grandkids because leprosy had invaded them. Oh, Lord. And it doesn't matter how much they wanted to be a good citizen in the community. They couldn't. Because no matter what their desire was, they could not fulfill it because they were controlled by leprosy. So the controlling by leprosy had to do with their desire. Then I see that they were consumed by leprosy. In other words, for them to be put out, they had to become a leper all over. Let me say a word to you. Did you know that when the priest examined the leper to see if he was ready to be cleansed, if they found one good spot on that leper, he wasn't ready. Hear what I'm saying? He could have had leprosy from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet and had one good clean spot on him. He wasn't ready to be cleansed. But when he was a leper all over, when he realized that there wasn't an ounce of cleanness about him, when he realized, when the priest saw that there wasn't any good thing about him, he was ready to have the blood applied. I want to say to you that as long as you think that there's a little bit of goodness in you, you can never get the help. But when you realize that you're totally depraved, there's a God who can cleanse you. The leper could never be cleansed till he was a leper all over. Well, that didn't have nothing to do with this, but that's pretty good preaching right there. We see that they were consumed by leprosy, which had to do with their depravity. Then I want to say they were cast out by leprosy. This had to do with their damnation. If something doesn't happen, they're going to die separated from family and friends and the Father. If something doesn't happen, they're going to die separated. But oh, Jesus passed by. Woo, praise the Lord. I want to say that Jesus, now on certain occasions when Jesus passed by, he went to them without them asking. But on other occasions when he passed by, he would have passed them by had they not cried. Here is one of those incidents where that he would have went on by because he's headed to Jerusalem. He's got an old rugged cross in his foreview. But he hears the cries of 10 desperate men. I'm glad that he can never become too occupied to be able to hear the cries of those that's crying unto him and that's needing help. Lord, I gotta hurry. Notice this. Notice this. I see now that they cried unto him. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, let me say point number one, and that's a bad thing to have preached 10 minutes and then say that, but watch this. I'll not be long. Watch it. Watch it. I think you're all used to preaching anyhow. I can detect that. Listen, let me say, first of all, there was the cause for thanksgiving. There's a reason to give thanks, especially with these 10 men. There's a cause for thanksgiving. Why? The Bible said in verse 14, and they were cleansed. Oh, cleaned up. Woo! They were cleansed. Listen to me carefully now. They were cleansed. Is that not a cause for thanksgiving? Think about where you were and the condition you were in. Think about your situation when he came to where you was. Oh, we could have been in hell, but we're not. That enough is a cause for thanksgiving. There's a cause for thanksgiving. What's the cause, preacher? Because their desire now was under a new control. They can go back home. They can sit back down with the family. The little boys and grandboys can run up in their arms now. Whoa, is that not a cause for thanksgiving? Listen, 5 years ago I couldn't have talked to you about grandyoungins. Well, I want to tell you right now, grandkids is enough to make you need to live right. Somebody said, if I can ever get my children raised, can I tell you these others coming on? Oh, hallelujah. Little old grandboys. Hey, Papa, it's good to see you all. That's a cause for thanksgiving. That's a cause for thanksgiving. Hey, their desire was controlled. Their damnation now has been canceled. Got a new slate. No leprosy, no more. Past is gone. Oh, I don't want to get bogged down here, but I want you to listen. Some of you here this morning can't enjoy who you are for what you were. But can I tell you, you ain't what you was. If you've been saved by the grace of God, your past has been canceled. That's what's so wonderful about being born again. I was born May the 29th, 1953, a boy baby in the Davis family. I was a baby boy. I'm still a boy. You got to clarify that these days. I was born, and when I got here, May the 29th, 1953, there wasn't anything recorded about me previously. I just got here. There wasn't one thing. I had no past when I was born. Hang on now. But 27 years later, August the 2nd, 1980, in the cab of an OKW 18-wheeler, 40-foot flatbed, load of rebar steel, eastbound 383-mile marker Tuesday morning. Sitting in the cab of that old truck, I can't handle it no more, Lord. Would you save me? And he said, I sure will. And that morning he saved me. Well, guess what? Since 1980 back to 1953, there was a whole mess of stuff that I'd committed. But I got born again. So the new birth did away with my old past. Some of you ought to praise God for that. It's that your past is gone. Somebody said, well, he wiped the slate clean. No, he threw the slate away. I'm telling you, friend, there is no place that there was a record of my past. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Lord, I got to move on. Notice here, their damnation was canceled. Their desire was under a new control. Their destiny now has been changed. Hey, I'm telling you, that's enough. That's a cause for thanksgiving. But then let me say secondly, I see in this text the carelessness of thanksgiving. Now before we jump to conclusions here, let's examine this just a moment. The carelessness of thanksgiving. What's the carelessness, preacher? Verse 15, and one of them returned. Only one. You know this text well. Only one returned. Nine did not. So I said, I want to tell you right now, them nine ought to be shot. Well, let's examine it just a moment. This is a 10-to-1 ratio. A 10-to-1 ratio. 10 were cleansed. 1 returned. Somebody said, boy, that's bad. I wonder how bad it is in our individual lives. I wonder if the ratio would be just 10-to-1. What do you mean, preacher? How many times have we asked and asked and asked and He's given and given and given? I can just about assure you, all of us in here, our requests outnumber our thanksgiving. Oh God, help us. Help us this week. I purposed in my heart this coming week that I'm going to, by the grace of God, I want this to be the greatest thanksgiving I've ever known. God's good. And I wonder, think about this. Let's look at these 10 men. Let me say that benefits received outnumbered the thanksgiving 10-to-1. In other words, all 10 of them asked, all 10 of them received, but only one returned to give thanks. Oh my. So many times when the storms are raging, we're constantly praying for help. And then I can about assure you, we don't spend as much time thanking Him as we did asking Him. When it's over. Oh, there's a carelessness of thanksgiving. Let me say something else. The prayer outnumbers thanksgiving 10-to-1. In other words, all 10 of them ask. All 10 of them are in the act of praying, but only one returns to give thanks. Well, I want you to get this one. Obedience outnumbered thanksgiving 10-to-1. In other words, when Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, there wasn't one disobedient one. Every one of them were obedient because all 10 of them started making their way to the priest. And as they went, all 10 of them realized that they were cleansed. So they were cleansed because they obeyed. If they'd hung around there and not been obedient, they would have never been cleansed. But they were cleansed through and because of their obedience. Jesus could have said, go show yourself to the priest. I know what's in store, but had they not, they would have never received. But here's what I want you to see. A lot of times we think just because we obey is going to get some great things from God. Listen carefully. Obedience outnumbered the thanksgiving 10-to-1. You know what I'm afraid of in these days? Listen carefully here. I'm afraid in these days that we're spending all of our time. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misrepresent what I'm saying. I think we ought to live right, separate ourselves unto God, be right. But I think we spend a lot of time examining ourselves for leprosy instead of thanking Him for cleansing us of it. Did you know that God knows that we're but flesh? Do you realize that He knows you're going to mess up? And so many times we spend our time looking for spots when we could spend that time thanking Him for forgiving us for them. Like a fellow said to me, it's been 3 or 4 years back. I was dealing with him about a real situation in his life. And he said, "Preacher, I've asked the Lord 1,000 times to forgive me of that." Just like this, I said to him, and it came from the Lord. I said, "Sir, why don't you just ask Him one time and spend the other 999 times thanking Him?" He scratched his head, turned around, walked off. 2 years later, I went back to the same area and he runs into me. I'd forgotten him. "It works, preacher!" I said, "What works?" He took me off and go, "What works?" He said, "You remember a couple of years ago you told me, then it all came back." He said, "It works." He said, "I've been appraising Him and thanking Him for who He is and what He's done." And he said, "That old guilt of things and that sin is gone." Some of you's been asking Him 1,000 times to help you with that, and you ain't never thanked Him one time for forgiving you for it. Try it. Let's move along. Lord, help us now. I see that, and I don't have to do with point number 3 because the preacher got it this morning. There's the cause of thanksgiving. There's the carelessness of thanksgiving. Thirdly, there's the characteristics of thanksgiving. Matter of fact, first his thanksgiving was personal. He didn't run somebody down and say, "If you see the Lord, tell Him I appreciate what He done." No. Immediately when he saw that he was cleansed, he turned back and give glory unto God and give Him thanks. It's good if you'll do it yourself. You know, it's amazing. Somebody, you know, a lot of times we have there'll be a thanksgiving spirit invade the service. You know, I'm sure you have those here. We've about gotten one this morning. But a thanksgiving spirit will invade the service. And normally, I don't know how it is here, but normally, it's the same ones that give thanks all the time. I'm not fussing now, I'm just telling you. I can say this because I don't know you. Normally, it's the same ones. And I think the reason that is a lot of times is that somebody will jump up and thank God, and somebody else was intending to, but that person thanked the Lord for what they were going to be thankful for. So they just sat there and said, "Lord, You accept his thanksgiving for what?" Well, let me ask you a question. If all 10 of these men had come back, what would they have thanked Him for? The exact same thing. Don't let anybody rob you of the privilege of giving thanks. The thanksgiving was personal. The thanksgiving was prompt. He didn't wait a day or two and said, "I'll look Him up later." No, immediately. And you know, a lot of times God waits to answer your request. You've been praying for something a long time, and God waits till a particular time to answer it. Have you ever wondered why? He'll wait because we're all family together. We're hooked into the same body. And a lot of times He waits to answer that you've been praying for a long time. Because so that you will give thanks for it. Because somebody else in the congregation at that particular time is going to need help from the Lord. And whenever you stand and say, "I've been praying for a long time and God has answered this prayer. And I want to thank Him." Somebody back down there says, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. If God can do it for them, He can still do it for me." Don't delay your thanksgiving. He answered your prayer, not just for you, but to help somebody else. I see the proclamation of His thanksgiving. The Bible said that He returned in verse 15 with a loud voice. I kind of like this fella. I preach up north around Chicago a lot, and sometimes kids will do this. But I understand. I probably would have done that too if I was listening to me preach. But they'll do this. But then I hear about this old boy here. And when he come back, he didn't say, "Lord, I want to thank God." Oh, no. With a loud voice. Somebody say, "Well, preacher, I don't like all that loud stuff." Well, you don't need to go to heaven because it's going to be loud there.
But hey, I just simply want to say,
if you rejoice very quietly, that's wonderful. If you think we're all not made up the same, hallelujah.
But I just simply want to say to you that he returned with a loud voice. Somebody said, well, there wasn't anybody else there but Jesus. Look at verse number 20. There's a whole crowd of Pharisees there. Hey, can I say to you, normally what keeps us from praising God is the long-nosed, pious Pharisees that's sitting around going to judge us and going to gauge us because of our narrow-mindedness. Well, I want to tell you I'm narrow-minded because I'm on a narrow way and we're headed home giving thanks. Don't let anybody steal it. Lord, help us, goodness. His thanksgiving was personal. His thanksgiving was prompt. Then I see the proclamation of it with a loud voice. And then I see the position of his thanksgiving. The Bible said in verse 16, and he fell down on his face. Real thanksgiving will put you humble at the feet of the Lord. Real thanksgiving does not draw attention to yourself. This man is fell on his face. The only people anybody can see, the only person anybody can see in this man's thanksgiving is Jesus. Because he's on his face at Jesus' feet. A prideful person will never give true thanks. Did you hear what I said? A person filled with pride will never give true thanks. But a person that knows they deserve nothing on their face at Jesus' feet gives him real thanks. And then Jesus is glorified and magnified. Watch this. I'm about done now. Watch this. Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed? Now why did he ask that question? He knows there were 10 cleansed. And where are the 9? He knew where the 9 were. Why did he ask the question? I believe he asked the question to teach us something about the man that's on his face before him giving thanks. Who's he asking the question? Him. Were there not 10 cleansed? He would have been the only one that would have known. Where's the 9? He would have been the only one that would have known. But watch this. This man is so involved and occupied with thanksgiving, he ain't got time to jump up and condemn others that's not. Nobody answers him. Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the 9? Oh, if that had been me and you, we'd have jumped up and said, well, now, Lord. I really did try to get them to come back with me. I told him it wasn't right for us not to give you thanks. And I guess that makes me and you just a little closer pals than you and them. No, he's so involved in thanksgiving, he ain't got time to point a finger at everybody else's situation. Real thanksgiving will make a different individual out of you. Did you know that thanksgiving will make you become an honest person? Here's something we don't do. Here's something none of us has ever done. Thank you, Lord, that I took my tithes and bought a living room suit with it. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know you've dealt with my heart to put that money in the building fund, but I want to thank you, Lord, that I bought me a new shotgun with it. Thank you. Did I hit a stump? My old grandpa said, if you ever plow new ground with a mule, I never did, thank the Lord. But he said, if you ever do and you hit a stump, back up and hit it again. Said, it'll pull it out. No. See, being thankful in all things for everything will make you an honest person out of it. Lord, I know you dealt with my heart about giving that pretty good sum to that missionary, but thank you, Lord, that my family and I went to Hawaii on it. Thank you. We don't do that. We only thank God for what we come by honest. And therefore, we're not thankful always. Thanksgiving will clean you up. Every church is known for something.
Wouldn't it be good if Liberty Baptist Church is known for being a thankful church? You know what that would be? Let me know you'd be the cleanest church. I need to move on here. I lost some of you right there. I just need to move right on. Listen, have you ever just thanked Him for things that you don't know about? I was coming out of Mississippi. Goodness. Was I supposed to be done at 12? I'm about done. I was coming out of the state of Mississippi one night. Always a blessing to be coming out of the state of Mississippi. I'm just joking. But I was coming out one night, and they were doing some construction work right there in front of the church. And it was already late. We started an hour behind time. And I was needing to get home, and it was about 7 hours and a half drive. And I pulled out on the road, and it was dark, no lines on the road. And I saw the barrels, but just as I pulled out and headed around a little embankment here in the road, there was a fella come toward me with no lights. And if I hadn't just caught a glimpse of him, he'd have hit me right broadside, and I just wheeled over and ran down a little embankment. And he missed me and went on. And I finally got backed out. I didn't have to have any help to get out. And I finally got backed out on the road. And I stopped. And I bowed my head. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you that guy didn't hit me. And the Holy Ghost said, now wait a minute, son. Rebuke me for it. Oh, really? Yeah. The Holy Ghost said to me, son, every time you get on the road, the devil's assigned a whole crowd to run you over. And normally you make your trips without even a hitch. He said, why don't you thank me for those times you don't know about? Whew. And needless to say, I spent the rest of the time home thanking Him for times that I didn't even know about. But He had took care of me. Have you ever thanked Him for something you wasn't thankful for? I'm being real serious now. It'll set you free. I remember a particular lady who had lost her son. She had had a song in her heart. And boy, that song blessed multitudes. I've seen bitterness take over where Thanksgiving used to be. And I was preaching one morning along these lines. And I said, have you ever been thankful for something you wasn't thankful for and you could see it like a ton of brick? And I preached for a while, and before I finished, she came to the altar. And I didn't hear her prayer. But she told me later, she said, preacher, I could not thank the Lord for taking my son, but I could thank Him that He knew what was best. And then she got her song back and the joy in her heart. Have you ever thanked Him for something? You said, no, I'll not thank Him for that. You don't have to thank Him for the situation, but you can thank Him. It could have been worse. And you can thank Him. He's in charge of it, and He knows what's best. Lastly, there's the consummation of thanksgiving. Now, I'll give you this, and I'm done. Look what the Bible says in verse 19. Now, this one returned to give thanks. Look at verse 19. Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way. Now look at the last phrase. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now all 10 of them got cleansed. In other words, that cleansing stopped what leprosy had done to them. In other words, if an ear was off, a leg was off, a hand was off, an eye was out, leprosy stopped. Cleansing stopped what leprosy had done to them. But it didn't fix what leprosy had done. Th- This man returned to give thanks. And in his thanksgiving, he got more than the other nine got that was cleansed. He got, is this right English? No English teachers in here, are there? He got what the others didn't get. Somebody said, but all of them got cleansed. Yeah, they all got cleansed. It stopped what leprosy had done. But thanksgiving fixed what leprosy had done. In other words, Jesus made him whole. Let's say he had an arm off, an ear off, and an eye out. Now see him as he comes dragging back to the Lord. You know why some of you are still bound down by the habits of the old life and the ways of the old life? You're not thankful that he's forgave you of them. And you're still dragging it around. But this old boy came back with a loud voice, praise God. And if he had a hand off, that hand jumped back on. And that ear would jump back on. And his eye, he could see it again. Because the Bible said the Lord made him whole. Thanksgiving will get you more from God than just being saved will. Get a hold of that. Can you see this old boy tomorrow? Runs up on his nine buddies. And I can see them as they're huddled up. And they're saying, boy, ain't it good not to be where we were. And this old boy comes a-running up. They don't even hardly recognize him because he's fixed. He said, they said, well, what happened to you? He said, all I did was just got thankfulness in my heart, went back and told the Lord how much I appreciated it, and in my thanksgiving, I got this. I want to tell you, friend, if you really want to get all that God has for you, be thankful always for all things. I sense the Lord. I know I'm a little over lunchtime. But we're dealing with lepers this morning. Listen to me carefully. Try giving them thanks. Get up every morning thankful. Be thankful. Go to bed at night thankful. See if it doesn't revolutionize your life. The light, you and your wife, sir, having problems. Try you both being thankful to the Lord for each other. See if that don't fix it. Son, see if it doesn't fix it. Brother Ken, I'm done. I'm going to let you take the invitation, please. But I do want us to stand. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, run to Him. See, Brother Ken had told me earlier, previously when he talked to me, that you wouldn't have a Sunday night service, but you see, I didn't write it down, so therefore I forgot it. And I was going to divide this message into two parts. But I only got one service to give it. That's why I've been a little lengthy. But listen to me carefully. Thanksgiving, not a suggestion. It's a command. Father, I've tried to give the burden of my heart today. Oh, how my heart has been thrilled and overjoyed at your presence this morning. Lord, I've fallen short in my thanksgiving, but you know my heart, you know my life. Lord, there have been so many tragedies in my life and in our lives the last 12 years that, Lord, the only thing we got left is to thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are God. And you know what's best. And you're wonderful. And oh, you so care for us. Now, would you work in hearts this morning, please? I know there's already folk that have been to the altars this morning. But oh, God, would you help us to be sensitive and obedient to you? In Jesus' name, we pray. Listen.